fired up. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard the mothership of all things feminism. This is Fired Up, a podcast that celebrates women who are fearless in the pursuit of what sets their soul on fire. Women who break the mold and dare to dream. Grab a seat and take your place in a safe space for bold conversations on charting our own path. Hello and welcome to an all-new episode of Fired Up. I'm your host, Sheila Vett. We are now on episode 4 of the Feminism and Family series. This episode is all about names. So what's in a name? I remember trying to decide on my daughter's name while I was pregnant. It was surprisingly one of the most important decisions our family would have to make. You would think it's as simple as liking the sound of a name, right? But along the way, it started to dawn on me that it wasn't just a simple task to check off. It would have to take a lot of time and deliberation. One of the things I remember telling my husband was that I would have to be able to imagine myself shouting her name over and over again for it to sound right. You know, calling her out while she's outside playing and needs to come back inside, or to stop her from doing something wrong. Maybe it's the African in me that needed to meet this prerequisite. As a child, I would get hooked on a cartoon or a movie. My eyes would be glued to the screen and the rest of the world just disappeared. A core memory I have is this one time I got yanked back to reality to the sound of my mother's voice and looking to the door and seeing her look clearly agitated. It was like being woken up from a dream for an emergency. Imagine a peaceful night where you're in deep slumber and having a lovely dream, you know, even your heartbeat has slowed down significantly. Like one of those glorious afternoon naps that teleport you to another dimension. You wake up to not even knowing who you are or where you are. And as you're lazily prying your eyes open to take in this new reality, you're met with a fire or people shouting your name as they run with buckets and put out flames. You would be completely disoriented, right? That's how deeply I was immersed in my show, only to wake up to my mother complaining about how she had called me 5 times already. And what was wrong with me? How could I be so deeply immersed in that screen? Now I understand why she had a genuine concern. As I geared towards motherhood, it had to feel right, or at least easy, to potentially call out my daughter for the next 2 decades. So I'll be the first to admit that a name is absolutely important. In cultures around the world, there are well-established naming systems, and much like culture, some of these methods are newer than others. The majority of these naming systems are patrilineal, so it's quite common to hear men talk about children or their future offspring as a continuation of their legacy. A sort of path to immortality. We have this clock that starts to tick the day we're born, and for some reason, the human race has been obsessed with the idea of living forever. I do wonder, though, if we really mean it. Anyway, I could go on a very long tangent here, but I'll keep it short and not introduce vampires and zombies on today's topic. With the level of importance that names take the world over, today's episode will explore how naming affects the family, where there's room for some flexibility, and what ways we could start to look at names differently. As you may have noticed in the episodes so far, this series on feminism and family is about challenging a lot of the norms that we've grown accustomed to. Sometimes I posit new ways of doing things, and quite often they go against the grain. In today's topic, we'll mainly focus on last names, family names, or more familiarly, surnames. This will trickle down from the couple to the children, as it could normally happen. I always wondered why women changed their name to adopt their husband's name as soon as they got married. Something in that felt like a loss in my young mind, like a giving up of self to become someone new. It seemed as though a lot of young girls had 2 phases in life, the girlhood, and the second would be wife and mother. These 2 versions of the female existence were worlds apart and held very different energies. One spelled freedom and carefree life, while the other was weighed by responsibility and the girl fading into oblivion. You see, the girl was often beholden to societal standards, tethered to her sex, a lot of them restrictive and rigid, in the sense that they didn't let her define herself outside of her gender. But even these rules were quite flexible in the early years, at least up to adolescence. Instead of a strong chastising, the tomboy would get a disapproving look, or be a slight inconvenience to the adults around her. To a large extent, she could try and bend some of the rules and was often able to do it successfully. There's a lot of lightness and freedom associated with this phase, girlhood. A girl could be funny or silly and playful. She could get in the clouds and be left to discover the world in her own pace and style. Once she started to be seen as an adult, a lot of these exceptions would slowly fade away. She was now responsible for a lot, even beyond her own control. She had to dress a certain way to refrain from tempting fragile men who were incapable of controlling themselves. She better present as a lady because doing the opposite of that would take points down her desirability scale. When the girl got married, she was expected to drop her name, her father's name, and take that of her husband. She would be proud to now belong to him, and as soon as she bore children, they would all fit into that neat and tidy little box. One name for the whole family. Then Aneos would be their new identity, and of course the rest of society would now refer to her as Mama Nani. Nani being the name of her firstborn. At this point, the transformation was complete. Mr. Nanio would continue to be who he was long before he met his lovely wife. If this is something that makes your heart swell, the thought of becoming a family of Nanios, for instance, that's perfectly fine and entirely a choice we all get to make. I just tend to skew towards the what if camp. What if I really like the sound of my name? What if this name that was used to infer me since I was born is what I'd like to retain? What if I enjoy being Mama Nani and have no problem with some people calling me that, but also want to be Sheila to most? How many of us only knew our mother's first or maiden name when we were much older? What I'm getting at is that we all have varying degrees of attachment to our names. In fact, I'm hardly attached to my middle name, but respect that it means so much more to other members of my family. As I can remember, whether I married or not, my name would always be Sheila Vett. Interestingly, in modern Kenya, a lot of people have three names, the first being a Christian name, the second traditional, and the last one mostly belonging to the father. There are exceptions in the Kikuyu culture, for example. It's nothing to bat an eye over meeting a man called Wambui or Wanjiru. In fact, one of the most famous marathon runners was Samuel Wanjiru. So why did we pick up this surname tradition? Or where did we pick it up from? I haven't dug deep enough in the archives, but it wouldn't be a crazy assumption to link it to colonization. The surname practice seems to be much more contemporary than pre-colonial. A logical link would be that even the British didn't have surnames until the Black Death. At least, not the regular folk who didn't belong to the noble families. Even within Kenya, the passing down of the family name varies. In some, you'll find generational families of Barazas, but in the tribe I belong to, the name changes with each generation. For instance, my father is Arap Bet, but if he had any sons, they would have a completely different name, unless, of course, he happened to be Kibet in his boyhood. Boys typically transition into manhood through circumcision. The suffix of their father's name becomes their new name. The new name follows Arap, which translates to son of. My grandfather's boyhood name was Kibet, which made my father Arap Bet. He also took on a suffix of his father's name upon adulthood and so on. Sometimes tradition is simply valued for sentimental reasons, perhaps my attachment of the name that is largely sentimental if you put a lens to it. So when I got married, I kept my name. And thank goodness this was not a concern to my husband. He didn't expect it because it was not the norm in his family either. Our name could tell a story or point to your identity or give you a sense of belonging. It can even help with creating bonds. This was part of the origin of the surname or the last name being that of the father. Through pregnancy, a woman starts to form a bond with a baby. By the time the little one arrives earthside, there's already a strong connection. Most fathers only start to process the realness of their child the day they are born. It takes bonding activities like skin-to-skin contact right after birth and the day-to-day care work for the paternal bonds to start to form. Nowadays, there's so many ways to name a family or to take on a family name. One of them is a double barrel name that includes both the man's surname and the woman's surname. There's also merging surnames, which is to take a part of your surname and a part of your partner's surname and create a new one. Some people actually create a whole new name for their family. Names are really interesting and important things and have been from time immemorial. Names are often linked to your fate or personality in a lot of cultures in Kenya and beyond. Certain names are avoided because of the belief that their forebearers tainted it by being deviants of sorts. Like, if a Kazungu was known to be a thief, the name might skip a few generations to avoid a reincarnation of this unfavorable character and take on the name of your husband, or maybe you didn't take on the name of your husband, but your children did. I think surnames are really interesting and important. In my family, we chose to give both my surname and that of my husband. So what do names mean to you? Are you one who prefers to keep the tradition and keep things simple because that's what's been done and there's no pushback if you continue? Are you one who wishes to keep your surname but your children take on your husband's surname, for example? I'd love to hear from you. And until next week, this has been Fired Up, and I've been your host, Sheila Bett.